All right. So, as you know, we're going through a series called Next. That's right. We're going through a series called Next and posing the question of what's next, right? What's next for you? What's next for us as a church body at New Vine? What does God have in store for us that's next? Last week, Pastor Elliot, if you were here, you remember he spoke on serving. And then the week before, Pastor Ted shared with us about growing old or growing up together, talking about moving into spiritual maturity in our faith. And then we have also covered topics like stewardship, not settling again, but then also lordship. Is this microphone okay, or should I? Are we okay, James? Or should I switch? Let me switch. Let me just switch.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
All right. Okay, so let's do this again. All right, so today, so we've covered quite a good number of topics. Today, we're actually going to focus on the topic of discipleship. Now, how many of you are familiar, thank you, Eric, with that term discipleship? Yeah, some of us, most of us. What does discipleship mean? What does it look like? And what's the result or purpose of discipleship? Should we all participate in discipleship? Or is it just for a select few? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Are all of us disciples? Didn't Jesus only have 12 disciples? Like, I don't know. So a definition of disciple. So when I looked up the dictionary, it defines a disciple as a follower, a pupil, or an adherent to the doctrines of another, one who embraces and assists in spreading the teaching of another person, or any follower of another person. Now, the word disciple may not be used in our regular conversation in everyday society, but it does get tossed around a lot in Christian circles, right? But the interesting thing is that in modern day society, people may be more used to words like mentor or mentee or coach or maybe even apprentice. I don't know, maybe growing up, you may have had a hero or a special person that you wanted to emulate or follow. Or maybe a sports figure that you kind of wanted to play basketball like who? I don't know. I'm not a sports person, but like Kobe Bryant or Shaq. I don't know. Is Shaq still in these days? Steph Curry. That's right. Steph Curry. Even my son, my 7-year-old son knows about Steph Curry. I'm like, oh, Curry. Okay, Steph Curry. But maybe you had someone like that you wanted to be like, that you kind of, I'm just going to use this word loosely, idolized, okay? But maybe someone that you wanted to imitate, to follow, to be like, right? Or maybe, you know, for those of you that are working, maybe there's a manager or maybe there's someone that you really admire, someone who has really strong leadership, you know, skills, and someone that you really want to kind of like, oh, I wish my career were like this person. You know, I'm going to try to do whatever he did to, you know, to kind of maybe emulate. Or Theo, maybe, you know, physical therapy. You know, you've probably been following a lot of physical therapists around, right? So maybe, you know, like you're trying to be a disciple of a physical therapist. But what's really interesting is the actual word discipleship, it really doesn't appear in the Bible. Did you know that? The word discipleship in and of itself does not appear in the Bible. The word disciple appears, but it never appears as a verb in scripture. It always appears as a noun, as a person, but never as a verb. So if you want to, well, you can look all you want, but you will not find a mention of Jesus, quote unquote, discipling. You won't see that term discipling Peter or John or any of the 12 disciples. But what you'll find in the Gospels is Jesus teaching his disciples and allowing them to observe his obedience to his Father as they lived life together. Now, I want to talk about a few misconceptions that we may have about being a disciple of Jesus. So as believers, we're actually all disciples of Jesus. Now, some people may think that maybe there are perhaps three categories of being a Christian. So the first category might be like a new convert, a new believer. So let's call that version 1.0. And then there may be disciples who are kind of ahead of a new believer, who are learning more. Let's call that version 2.0. And then there may be some people who are more spiritual or more advanced in the faith, disciple makers. Let's call that version 3.0. Okay, some people have that concept that, okay, there's three different categories, you know, like a, maybe like a baby Christian, or you know, like a, you know, a new convert, someone who's learning more, and then, you know, the experts or whatever, right? Or some may suggest that disciples are just super Christians, those that have been in the faith for years and years, you know, people that have so much wisdom, like Hiro was talking about, you know, and then they're the ones that are doing everything for Jesus, right? And then while there are other Christians, you know, that are just like normal Christians, right? But what's interesting is scripture doesn't support any of these distinctions. We're either following Jesus or we're not. Okay? There's no middle ground. If you believe in Jesus, you're a disciple. It's not optional. Okay? Sometimes we think, oh, you know, I guess if I have time, I'll take this discipleship course. Or maybe like, if I have time, I'll learn more about Jesus. That's not what scripture says. Scripture says that we're either in or not. You know, we're either Jesus's followers or we're not. Now, you may be a new believer, drinking spiritual milk, but you're still a disciple. Okay, or you may be a mature believer. Okay, I'm just show of hands. How many have been following Jesus for 10 plus years? Okay, I'm gonna go higher. How many 15 plus years? How many 20 plus years? Wow, 25? Do I hear 20? How about 30? Well, yeah, wow. 40? Whoa, yeah, all right. And you may be eating spiritual food, but guess what? You're still a disciple. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, those that have been following Jesus so much, like, longer, they know it all. But that's not true. We, as disciples of Jesus, we are constantly learning, right? And how many of us, let's go the other way, how many of us have been a Christian for about a year or less? Huh? Okay, 2 years or less? Okay, all right, so we've got a few that are 2 years or less, all right? So even as a quote-unquote newer believer, actually, you're not new anymore, right? 2 years, that's a long time, right? But you're still a disciple, so we're all in this together. We're all disciples, right? Now, let's see what Jesus said about being a disciple. I want to flip to, we don't have that many scripture passages today, but I want to flip to the first verse found in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Now, in the English Standard Version, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Okay, so it talks about, the ESV refers to the word disciple. And then the NIV, the New International Version, it refers to the word as student. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Now, like we see on the screen, some translations actually refer to the term disciple as a pupil or a student, okay? And that's really what a disciple is, a learner, a student, right? So as a follower of Jesus, you and I are both students. We're learning, right? We're learning. What does it say? It says, you know, we're being trained, right? So here in the verse, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So we're actually learning to be like our teacher, Jesus, right? Now, that really kind of hit me this week as I was preparing for this message, because some of you know how I love to study, right? So I don't know how many of you love to learn. I know there are some of you. I know there are thinkers out there. There are people who really love to learn, lifelong learners, right? But you know what? As a believer, oh, and actually, yeah, someone last week asked me, he's new to New Vine, he said, are there thinkers here? And I was like, oh yeah, there's some thinkers here. There's some learners here, right? But as believers, okay, a disciple means we're learners, okay? We're supposed to be learning, okay? When I was reminded about this week, I was like, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be learning, right? And I think sometimes maybe like school is kind of, some of you have gone to school for many years, right? So, and some of you love going to school, but some of us, maybe tired of school, or you know, maybe not like going to school as much. But the fact is, we're, as a disciple, we're supposed to be learning all the time, right? I think for myself, sometimes I forget that I'm supposed to be learning. I forget that I'm supposed to be learning to be like Jesus. And I must confess, I don't wake up every morning saying, okay, God, what do you want me to learn today? What do you want me to learn so that I can be more like Jesus? Right? I don't know how you feel, but sometimes I know I'm a child of God, but I forget that I'm supposed to be his disciple. I am supposed to be his follower. I am supposed to learn from him each day and represent him in my community, represent him in my family, represent him in my career. I had to ask myself, well, first of all, am I willing to learn? Right? And I know some of you love to learn. But the thing is you may want to learn academic stuff, right? But do you want to learn about the truths and the richness of God's grace? Do you want to learn about how Jesus taught, what he taught, how he showed compassion, how he showed mercy, how he loved? Are we willing to go through that? Are we willing as his disciples to always be in a state of learning? And saying, God, what is it that you are trying to teach me today? How do you want me to be like Jesus today? And I think sometimes, you know, I think sometimes the longer I'm a Christian, sometimes it's easy to forget that, yeah, I am supposed to be learning. Even though I've been a Christian for maybe 30 some, maybe 40 years. I don't want to give my age away, but I think I told you already. But how am I supposed to be learning? What am I supposed to be learning today to be more like Christ? You know, and I'm not going to go through the verses, but there were, in scripture, there were ways that people learned about the law, right? They would kind of train other people. You know, we hear about how in Titus, some of the older women were to train the younger women. In 2 Timothy, Paul trained Timothy to train others, trained him to train others about the ways of the Lord. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about fathers training their children. You know, there's many examples about how we're supposed to learn and train. But one of the things that I really wanted to pose is, as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of him, what lesson are you learning at this point in your life? What is Jesus saying to you that perhaps you have not learned before? Sometimes, depending on how dense we are, we may be having to learn the same lesson over and over again until we get it, right? But as a disciple, are we willing to learn those lessons? Now, the other interesting thing is that if we're supposed to be like Jesus, Paul talks about this fragrance of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this aroma, this smell of Jesus. You know, what are you emitting? You know, are you emitting the aroma of Christ? Do others see Jesus through you and I? Or are you emitting maybe your own odor or your own aroma or maybe your old self? You know, when you're challenged, when you and I are faced with a difficult situation or when our patience is tested, what are we emitting? Are we emitting the Lord's patience? Are we emitting my own anger and my own frustration? Right? How are we representing Jesus to those around us as his disciple? The next thing that I wanted to, the next part of scripture that I wanted to go over was, is found in Matthew chapter 28. And this is probably a very familiar passage to most of us, but it's Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And these are the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, right? I'm just going to read this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Now, again, it may be a very familiar passage, Jesus' last words to his disciples. And you know, sometimes when it's like parting words, you know they're pretty significant, and you know that they're supposed to be pretty meaningful and pretty weighty, right? So these were Jesus' last words to his disciples and to us before, you know, before he ascended into heaven, right? And we know that this is commonly known as the Great Commission, often used around the topic of missions, you know, about going into the whole world and, you know, making disciples. But if you look at what Jesus is saying, he starts off by reminding his disciples that he is the one that has this authority, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. That basically Jesus has this authority and God is empowering him with this authority. Now, what he tells his disciples in verse 19 is go and make disciples, right? So again, the disciple, make is the verb, right? Disciples is the noun. But the two verbs that we see are go and make, right? They're action verbs. They're active. It's intentional. It's something that just doesn't happen. Not something that is received with passivity, but it's actually going wherever it might be. It could be across the world, but it could also be across the street or across the room or right across the park. Sharing the good news and seeing people come to faith in Jesus, right, as their savior. So it's kind of like, okay, making disciples is you know, kind of like introducing people to Jesus, sharing the good news, introducing people to Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. What's the next thing he says? It talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism, and we may cover this later as part of our next series, but really baptism, it's a public declaration of one's faith. It's professing one's belief in Jesus that, yes, I believe in Jesus and I'm willing to follow him in baptism to be buried as you go under the water and to be raised to life in my new life, dying to my old self, to my sins, but coming to life again because of Jesus. And then teaching them to obey everything, part of the learning process, right? As disciples, again, learning, teaching, what is Jesus teaching us? You know, whether it be through Sunday messages, whether it be classes like the School of Worship, whether it be some of you are involved with Soul Care, whether it be some of these opportunities, teaching, whatever it is, you know, that is an element of teaching. You know, some of you are part of small groups, some of you go to BSF, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, right? Learning about his teachings. And then at the very end, it says, surely I am with you to the very end of the age. He promises to be with us, right? That we're not doing it by our own strength, by our own power, but by the Lord's strength and power. Now, when I think about discipleship, I really see it as a twofold approach, a two-pronged approach, like simultaneously. You know, making disciples, sharing the good news, you know, when someone becomes a believer. But a lot of times when someone becomes a believer, we get really happy and we're like, yay, you know, so-and-so believed in Jesus. You know, we had you know, 10 people accept Jesus, and we get really happy. But that's just the beginning, right? That's just the beginning of a life of discipleship, of a life of maturing. You know, we talked about maturing spiritually. We talked about maturing as a church. We talked about growing up, right? So it's like, it doesn't stop at someone believing in Jesus. That's only the beginning. But it continues with that person growing into maturity, continuing on that path of being a disciple. And really, again, being a disciple is becoming more like Jesus. So how have you and I become more like Jesus? If you think about your life, if I think about my life, am I more like Jesus today than I was a year ago? Am I more like Jesus today than I was last month? Am I more like Jesus when my kids test my patience? Am I more like Jesus when they wake up every hour? We have three, so they this week, Cheryl was out of town for three nights. Praise the Lord, Cheryl was back. But this week, they took turns waking up when mommy was gone, and it was almost every hour or every 2 hours. And all three of them just kind of rotated, taking turns. But am I like Jesus in being patient with them when I'm groggy, when I'm sleepy, when I'm so tired? It's like, Esther's like, I don't want to go to sleep. I'm like, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. You have to go to sleep because I'm tired, right? But it's like, am I more like Jesus is being patient and compassionate instead of being like, it's very easy to get me in my old self to be like, no, go to bed, stop, go to bed, you know? But like, am I able to be more like Jesus and hold her and comfort her and say, okay, now it's time to go to bed? Praise the Lord, she did after 15 minutes. But the question really is, am I more like Jesus today than I was even yesterday? You know, when Jesus said make disciples, we have to remember how he actually made disciples. Remember, there were 3 years where he was teaching 12 men, right? On dusty roads, right? He was, in a sense, disciple-making, right? Shaping these men, teaching them, but also living with them and really exemplifying life with them, right? There were areas that we read in the scripture where he formally taught his disciples, he formally taught the crowds, but there were also other times that weren't as formal, where he basically allowed his disciples to observe his own obedience to his Father, his Heavenly Father, as they lived together doing life. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to kind of cover. You know, there's that structured formal teaching time, right? Where he formally taught his disciples. Now, some of you, you know, when you think of discipleship, some of you may have gone through like a formal discipleship program, right? Some of you, if you were in college, maybe you had a discipler who met with you once a week for like a semester or two. You know, there was like a formal program or whatever. Maybe some of you, you know, we think about soul care, right? Oh, wait, that's kind of like a, in a sense, a formal quote unquote program, you know, but it's like you go through something that's more structured, more formal, right? You know, maybe you and a friend get together each week and you have selected a book, a Christian book to read, and you meet over coffee and you discuss, right? Or maybe an older sister takes a younger sister and says, hey, let's get together and go through the book of John together. You know, all of those are opportunities for discipleship. All of those are opportunities for disciple making. But then sometimes discipleship doesn't have to be that structured. You know, sometimes it's just living life together. You know, when Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, you know, not everything was formal. You know, a lot of stuff was like observation. You know, like when he met the woman at the well, you know, his disciples saw him interact with her, right? When he performed the miracles, his disciples saw his interaction, right? Some of them was just kind of like how you and I do life. But really the question is, do you and I do life together in these informal situations? Because I think sometimes we think of discipleship as too formal of a program, and we miss these other discipleship opportunities that we may have with each other. Even with like visiting a friend, you know, like, oh, so-and-so's not feeling well. Hey, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. Would you like to come with me? You know, let's go pray for so-and-so together. You know, that could be a discipleship moment as well. And especially, I think, a lot of times, discipleship can be spontaneous. You know, a lot of times we like to talk and chat and catch up, which is good. You know, it's nice to talk about football. Lawrence isn't here, but it's like nice to talk about football. But sometimes it's like, let's get deeper. You know, let's get like to what, like the truths of the Lord. You know, I think a lot of times we miss some of these opportunities, and we always have to make things very formal, but it's more about sharing life. What has God been doing in your life? And what has God been doing in my life? Those can also be discipleship moments or discipling moments. When we are open and transparent, when we say, you know what, I've been struggling, and then the other person says, you know what, let me come and let me pray with you. Let me share how, perhaps the Lord worked in my life when I went through a similar situation. That, in a sense, it's encouragement, but that could also be a discipleship moment where we're learning together to be more like Jesus, and we're emulating more of Christ's love. So I don't want you to think of discipleship as always being like a set program, but there may be opportunities where you and I have each day with each other that we could also be doing discipleship together. One of the things, though, is discipleship needs to be intentional. Okay, we talked about the formal, you know, okay, let's meet once a week for 6 months or whatever. But it also, even with the spontaneous stuff, it needs to be intentional. We really need to want to be learning together as a community to follow Jesus. And I want to invite you to basically think about what are ways that we can encourage each other to be more like Jesus. You know, so even tonight as we go upstairs, or even when you talk to your friends during the week, let's go a little deeper and say, well, what has the Lord been teaching you this week? This is what God has been showing me, or this is how God spoke to me this week, or this is how, you know, I've been growing, or I've been struggling through whatever, but this is what I'm getting from the Lord. This is how God is teaching to be more like him. I think we need to challenge each other to not only go beyond the surface, but to really say, how are you becoming more like Jesus? How am I becoming more like Jesus? How can I help you to become more like Jesus? And I think we really need to be intentional with that question. A lot of times we think that, discipleship, it always has to be like, you know, someone that's very wise, very, 40 plus years of being a Christian, or 50 or 60 or whatever. That's not necessarily the case. You know, we all have a lot to share, a lot to offer in our spiritual walk. You know, so think of it as a disciple of the Lord. What can you offer to someone else? You know, that may be a younger believer. Maybe your word of encouragement will go a long way in helping that younger believer be more like Jesus. And then, as a disciple of the Lord, what can you receive from others? You know, how can you not only give, but how can you also receive from those that may be more mature or wise? You know, or even as we share. You know, a lot of times when we share during family time, that's actually, in a sense, a discipleship moment. You know, as we share some of our joys, as we share some of our struggles, as we share even some of what God is teaching us, like, wow, this is what I learned, or praise God for this lesson. You know, so see a lot of these opportunities as discipleship moments. But I think we tend to think that, oh, this discipleship thing has to be this way. It has to be structured. We have to go through a 5-week study. We have to go through, if we don't do X, Y, and Z, that's not discipleship. Don't see it as that. See it as a lifelong lesson of how can I become more like Jesus each day. So again, just to recap, making disciples, right? Helping an unbeliever become a believer by sharing the good news. That's making disciple, right? But then as believers, helping others grow, helping each other grow, that's also discipleship. And then also helping myself grow, right? That's also discipleship. So as we close today, I just wanted to pose a few questions to each one of us when it comes to this topic of being a disciple. I'm going to ask you actually to stand as we go over some of these questions. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're his disciple. You're his student. You're his learner. Will you allow him to teach you? Will you allow him to transform you more into his image? Do you want to learn? What are ways that you are taking an active role in learning? How are you able to learn to be more like Jesus? Are you spending time with him in his word? Are you spending time with him in prayer each day? Are you taking advantage of some of these opportunities that sometimes we have to grow deeper in Jesus by perhaps attending a class? How are you being trained in God's ways? Another question I wanted to pose is, how am I helping others follow Jesus? Am I making disciples of other people? Do I even care that my neighbor doesn't know Jesus or my classmate doesn't know Jesus? Can I start by praying for him or her? Can I start by asking the Holy Spirit to soften hearts around us for those that don't know Jesus? How am I becoming more like Jesus every day? If we're Jesus' followers, do we want to be more like him each day? And if we don't, he's inviting us to ask him to show us how to be more like the Master. And then how am I helping others to become more like Jesus? Is my conversation helping the other person become more like him? I want to invite you to just spend some time with God. Whatever God's placing on your heart, would you just commit that to him? Would you just ask him to desire to learn more about being a disciple? God, we come before you this afternoon and we say that, Jesus, we want to learn to be like you. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for sometimes not prioritizing being your disciple, that sometimes we get so caught up with our lives. Sometimes we get so caught up with this valley, with just making ends meet or working or taking care of our families or studying so hard. Lord, first and foremost, we thank you, Lord, for calling us to yourself, that you remind us that we are supposed to be not only your people, but also your disciples. That, God, we're supposed to be your students. And Lord, we pray that you would give us a desire to learn more about your truths, a desire to learn more about Jesus, who you are, and what you've done. Father, we ask that you would give all of us a heart to be your disciples, Lord, a heart to make disciples, a heart to live a lifestyle of discipleship. Jesus, that we would desire to be more like you each day. Lord, that we would be able to emulate you, that we would be able to represent you, that we would be your hands and feet, that Jesus, we would have the mind of Christ, that we would have the compassion of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would remind us, Lord, of these discipleship moments, even in our everyday lives, Lord, whether it be just talking with our brothers and sisters, whether even upstairs enjoying a meal together, that you would enable us to go deeper, to have a transparency, to share about what you've been teaching us, and to be encouraging each other to become more like you. Lord, we ask that even as a church, that we would take this topic of making disciples to heart, that, Lord, we would not exist as a community just for ourselves, but that, Lord, we would exist as a church that goes and makes disciples of all nations. Lord, starting here in Mountain View, reaching to the rest of Santa Clara Valley, and even to the ends of the earth. Lord, we pray that you would change our hearts, that we would be people who would love being your disciples, that we would love discipling each other, that we would love to be discipled, and that, God, we would ultimately be more like Jesus each day. God, show us what that looks like. Teach us more, for it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.